Welcome to this online interview by Project Cargo Weekly. Our very special guest of honor today is Mr. Henrik Hansen. He is the general manager of AAL Shipping based in Houston, USA. And it's an honor to have him here. First and foremost, Henrik, very welcome to this interview.
Thank you, Bo, and thank you for the opportunity. I really appreciate it.
Most welcome. Henrik, I always allow my interviewees to elaborate a little bit to our viewers on the background that they have. How come you are in shipping and not in a bank or in an accountancy? How come you got into logistics back in the day?
That's a very good question, Bo. Originally, I wanted to be a certified accountant.
Okay.
Why? I cannot tell you, okay. But that was the plan. Joining the university in Denmark, I didn't really know how to proceed, what to do. At some point, the idea of shipping came up. There was a, what do you call it, like a trade show at the university with representatives from various fields, including Poulsen Shipping, which I'm pretty sure you know.
Of course.
And I was sitting in on that presentation and said, that's it. That's what I'm going to do.
Wow.
So from that on, I started my career with Lehman Junior agencies in Copenhagen, which back then was the biggest agency in Denmark.
Correct.
I worked with them for about 3 years, two of which was as a trainee. Then I made the jump to Frank & Tobiesen, which were the general agents of all Polish shipping activities in Denmark.
Correct.
I was there for about 7 years. Then I made the jump to DFDS on the ferry slash trailer service to and from the UK.
Okay.
That didn't work out so well. And I stayed for about a little year. Went back and got on board with, it was called Seatainers, which was a company owned by Hexia Linia Agentur,
right,
who represented P&O Netlloyd. And then at some point I was like, agency is fun, but it would be nice also to try and work from a carrier perspective.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't really have any chartering background per se. So it was hard for me to go on board with the carrier. But then the opportunity came up. I was contacted by Nordana Line to come and work for their office here in Houston, which was called WECO Agencies.
Oh, yeah.
And after some consideration, I decided, okay, let's do the jump. Let's invest 2, maybe 3 years on that side of the business. And then eventually, and that was the initial plan, to go back and work from the head office in Denmark.
Right.
Well, now it's 28 years ago and I'm still in Houston. So I was working with Nordana slash WECO for about 9 years.
Mm-hmm.
After that, I joined the team of Chibblebrock in Houston, with whom I worked for about 8 years.
Yeah.
And that's, I would say, that's really where I got acquainted with and familiar with more on the project side of things.
Yeah.
And and then when it was time to move on and try new challenges, AL came up as an alternative, and I've now been on board with AL for 10 years.
Wow.
And the past 3 years as the general manager of the Houston office or the Americas.
Wow. That's a very impressive career, Henrik. And some of the names you mentioned from back in the day, it certainly rings a clear bell with me. I think we...
Oh, it sure does. I mean, even with Lehman Junior, we were presenting shipping lines, carriers,
yeah,
which do not even exist anymore, right?
Yes.
I mean,
yes.
There has been a lot of changes over the years, for sure.
Definitely, but what an impressive background, and you certainly have the wide experience now ending up with a very long stint there in Houston. What can you tell our viewers about AAL? What is the abbreviation standing for? What is the abbreviation stands for? And how is your trade pattern for your services? What can you tell our viewers of interest?
So AAL, Austral Asia Line.
Okay.
So AAL, or Austral Asia Line, Austral Asia Line was launched 30 years ago with a line operation between Asia and Australia.
Right.
Service still exists. And since the start, more tonnage, more services has been added. And AAL today is a global carrier, leading project MPP carrier. Main trade lanes today, including the Asia-Australia, is Asia to Europe, vice versa. Asia to North America, vice versa. We operate a regular liner service from North Europe to the Middle East. And on top of that, if and when convenient and possible, we will also do some kind of tram service.
Okay. That's
Some will probably categorize us as a liner carrier. I don't, with the exception of Australia, I don't necessarily say we are a liner carrier by definition. We provide regular sailings within certain trade lanes,
Yeah.
but still with the opportunity to have that tramp mentality
Flexibility.
within the loading and the discharge scope, if that makes
Yeah. No, it makes perfect sense. I mean, you have also others who claim to be liner services, and then they are not. I think
sense.
you are much more honest in that regard. I have certainly seen your ships around the world, and what can you tell our viewers about the type of vessels you have? Since you are in the Americas, if we focus on the service to and from Asia and the Americas, what type of ships do you have? What can you lift? Ports of call? What can you tell our viewers on that?
So specifically on Asia Americas, if that's the route we're going to focus on. So we operate a regular service, Southeast, North Asia, into the U.S. Our main focus is the U.S. Gulf. We can and will consider West Coast, occasionally East Coast as well. I would say for us and the service as a whole, U.S. Gulf destinations is the bread and butter. Tonnage-wise, we're an MPP carrier. We are in the big segment of MPP, so we average 30 to 32,000 tons deadweight. Tween decks, adjustable pontoons, depending on cargo size, cargo height, etc. Lifting capacity, 700 tons, which very much meets the cargo segments. We see the opportunities. We see 700 tons meet our requirements and seems to work well with what we see. We're not a super heavy lift carrier per se, obviously. We are not the
Understood.
one when you come with 1200 tons, etc. But that's not our target either. That's not where we want to operate.
No, I understand.
So recently we just launched a new building program, the famous SOBI, which is a unique in-house design. Six ships has been delivered now, and two more will be delivered summer of next year.
Yes,
So
yes.
the six are already integrated in service. As I said, it's a very unique design. Our main structure is four, which is new to us. That's never been the case before. So we have a very nice weather deck, and I mean deck-wise, it is designed for offshore equipment. So that's basically where the focus is. But with the design and the capability, it has also enough for other cargo segments that in the past we were not able to target and pursue per se. So the Super B has long hatches, 68, and I believe it's 42 meters, which enable us to target also long lengths that we were not able to do in the past with only 38 meters hatch length. What is unique about the Super B as well is it's 3 by 350 and not 2 by 350. So that also opens up for more flexibility in terms of storage for heavies, long lengths, etc. Combined, even though it's 3 by 350, it's still 700 tons.
Got it.
The weather deck is unique. It's basically flush. Some colleagues will say even a pilot can land his airplane there. Then on top, we have the unique design of the eco deck, where we take pontoons and add port side. which actually add another, I believe it's 660 square meters of weather deck capability.
Wow.
So very, very, very unique, very flexible. And since the launch, since the introduction to the fleet, I must say that tonnage has been very successful.
I've seen some pictures of fully laden vessels of your new B-class type. It's very impressive, even very, very long blades for the renewable industry. And
Exactly.
you have a huge intake. I mean, you can really move some equipment, some cubic meters there.
Yeah, so capacity wise, we can do up to, of course, you have to take stow into consideration, but
Sure.
black and white up to 42,000 freight tons.
It is staggering amount. It's really seeing is believing, and believe me, viewers, I have seen some of the pictures that Henrik talked about here. May I ask a question which comes to interest? Let's say I'm a shipper sitting in China, and I have a project designed for the Caribbean, but
Yeah.
it's not a place where you could go with your vessels. Would you be able to make a connecting agreement? Let's say take it to Houston and then ship it onward, or do you stop where your service stops, so to speak? Or can you offer all the way? Is that something that's in your scope?
No, I think that's a very good question. I also believe it really depends on the scope, the demand. We like to do things out of the ordinary. We like to consider destinations that we typically not service on a regular basis. On the other hand, if we know, if we see that we can maintain full ships within the scope,
Of course, yeah.
maybe not worth the adventure per se.
No.
But yeah, I mean, it's always a possibility, and there has been situations in the past where we have been talking with other carriers,
Yeah.
not necessarily that it became a done deal, but with the idea of we take it from A to B, and then you pick it up from B and bring it to the final destination.
Yeah.
Yes.
No, at least you're open if the situation would come.
Definitely.
Another thing that comes to mind, many of our viewers are project forwarders, and you know I'm involved as a kind of honorary chairman in a huge network of project forwarders. Some shipping lines nowadays, they want to be forwarders, the one-stop shop, and they want to do it all. How do you, Henrik, treat forwarders? You take anyone with the same kind of attitude, and you are not planning to be a forwarder yourself. You are a carrier. I mean, what's your policy on this?
No, I think that's one of the reasons to our success. Any inquiry, any client that comes to us will be treated the same way, whether they bring to the table, let's say, 500 freight tons or 10,000 freight tons.
No, that's
And
quite.
I think that pattern is, at least for me, I feel has been very successful. And personally, I think that's the right way to go. Freight forwarders are clients just like a shipper and EPC, etc. And in terms of do we want to be freight forwarders? No. Our expertise is on the sea, on the port operations, the transportations, what goes on before and after we leave for the exports. So we take the whole cook. That's it.
I think that's a very clear statement. I think our viewers will certainly love to hear a clear and unequivalent statement like that. That's good. Excellent. How do you see the market? Has, of course, everyone were happy during the corona or just after the corona days. I think the coffers are full. But how do you see the market now? Of course, Mr. Tariff, we don't know. But how do you see the market towards end of the year and beginning of the next year?
I mean, there's a lot of factors that has an effect on how the market act, etc. We have had, I mean, you have all the geopolitical situations. You have a war in Ukraine, unfortunately. You have had the unrest in Gaza, which hopefully is coming to an end. A few years back, we had this challenge with the Panama Canal. We still have the issue with the Suez Canal because of the Houthis in Yemen, which unfortunately forces us to, like most carriers, and I think even now all carriers, because of the recent incident with one ship that was attacked from by ownership of another company. I think most are now steaming via Cape of Good Hope until further away. Congestion becomes an even bigger issue. It has been. The Middle East is hit hard, especially the Arab Gulf. We see more and more, especially in North China, etc. So, I mean, there's a lot of factors that have an impact on how not only us as the carrier, but also how the market reacts and how they sort of overcome these obstacles, right? You have all the uncertainties about the tariffs. I think for the most part, now speaking Asia and the US, for the most part, it has sort of settled down. The exception, of course, is still China. Long run, I am still pretty convinced that they will come to an agreement. I think they will have to come to an agreement. So how does it impact the trade? Yeah, it has been impacted the trade, and we especially saw it, I would say, early spring of this year. And then also in connection or in combination with the usual summer slow, Q3 was a clear picture of that. Cargo that was intended to be shipped would typically be put on hold just to wait and see what is the situation, or because of certain deadline given by the US administration, it had to ship promptly, which for us can be a challenge considering we are parceling up. We are not a one booking carrier and then we steam. So for us, it's not impossible, but a last in, first out per se can be challenging for us. But I would say overall, despite all the factors, despite all the challenges, and especially all the uncertainties, I think for us, AAL, in terms of Asia, US, the outlook is very promising for the next couple of years. You see a lot of tractions on capital projects, specifically LNG. You see a lot of traction on energy now because of AI and the data centers that are required to provide the energy to feed these databases, bases. I'm not an expert, but so we see a lot. And I'm Danish. I'm always concerned.
Sure, we are.
But yeah, but I would say, generally speaking, the next outlook for the next 2 or 3 years looks very promising.
Okay, that's great to hear. I certainly can detect a great deal of optimism there. And you certainly do have a good name. I mean, there's no secret. I'm not on anyone's payroll, so I can say that freely to my viewers that AAL does have a good name and the vessels are phenomenal. So you really have a good name and service in there. I'm just, as you know, I'm based now personally in Santiago in Chile. Just a quick question, totally off the record here. Any plans to come to South America regularly?
Is this being recorded?
No, I'm just asking out of when we talk trade lanes, would there be any new plans for AAL, do you think, in the future for any other?
We do have something in the works, and pertaining to South America, especially with our new builds. I would say sooner than later, we will be able to go more public in that respect and share what the plans are for the next at least 1, if not 2 years. Yes.
Okay, sounds interesting, and of course, Project Cargo Weekly will be there to investigate.
No, but I would say South America as a whole, considering we are limited tonnage-wise, we operate a fleet of 28 ships now deployed in certain trade lanes, and not really having the intention to go above that number of ships. We also have to very carefully monitor new ideas and how that would go along with current business, because we don't want to jeopardize current Tradelink's business because of new adventures,
No,
if that makes sense.
I think that
We
makes.
have been in South America, more so East Coast and West Coast.
Oh, yeah.
We have done a few projects from Asia into North Brazil.
Oh, yeah.
We have in the past, when we turned the ships here in the US back to Asia, we have in the past been calling North Brazil for loading dry bulk, for example.
Okay.
So typically our trade lane, Asia, US, US, Asia. So regular service with focus on project cargoes
Yeah.
coming in, and the backhaul, as we refer it to, typically dry bulk
Yeah.
with potentially some general cargo on top.
Yeah.
The fact that we don't provide a regular service from US back to Asia, and the fact, you know that as well, you don't see the big volumes being exported from the US these days.
Correct.
And the size of our tonnage, it's better for us as a whole to focus on the dry bulk
Yeah.
and bring the ships back to Asia as quick as possible, because that's where the money still is.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. No, but that makes perfect sense. And of course, you are not. You have some big ships in the market that you
Exactly.
need to think carefully. It's not the smaller sized MPPs that are roaming the world. Very interesting what you say there, Henrik. And I think our viewers would be very interested to know more when the time comes. I want to say you answered all the questions I could think of publicly in a good way. So I have
Well,
others, but of course that's for another day. But I want to say formally many thanks for this interview, Henrik.
you for the opportunity. I
It's a
do
pleasure.
appreciate it. Thank you,
And
sir.
definitely we'll be in touch. To all our listeners, viewers, and readers from around the world, this was yet another great interview by Project Cargo Weekly. Our special guest of honor today has been the General Manager of AAL Shipping based in Houston, US, Mr. Henrik Hansen, an industry veteran with many years of experience and also a native of Denmark, just like yours truly here. It's been a pleasure to have him here, and do consider AAL Shipping when you have any project cargo to move, whether to or from Europe, Middle East, Asia, or between Asia and the Americas. They do have fantastic tonnage, and they are service-minded, and they protect anyone who comes to them with an inquiry. So for me, until next time, thank you very much.